Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. My name is Rick Hill, and I'm your host for this episode. And thanks for taking the time to listen to these episodes. It's our hope that these conversations provide you with some food for thought about life and witness at this time, as well as give you some encouragement too about how God is at work in our church. Now, one of the buzzwords throughout this pandemic has been roadmaps, and we've spent lots of time over the last month hearing in the news about various roadmaps from Dublin and Belfast and London. And today we're joined by three leaders in the life of our denomination who I'm hoping will help us to think about what our potential roadmap might look like within our congregations as we think about things like re-engaging and resetting and rebuilding again. So welcome back on the podcast. They've all featured before. So the current moderator of the General Assembly, the Reverend David Bruce, the clerk of the General Assembly, Reverend Trevor Gribben, and the secretary for the Council of Congregational Life and Witness, the Reverend David Thompson. That's all a bit of a mouthful, but it's really good to have you on today. Folks, you've all been on the podcast before, and I've just shared your job titles, and perhaps we know a little about what each of you do. So to begin today, I'd love to ask maybe a slightly different version of our opening question. I guess I'm wondering if you can tell us and share with our listeners a little bit about what your work has felt like recently or over the past few months and year. We'll give the first word to our moderator.
Oh, okay, Rick, thank you for that. You were using the word roadmap, and I suppose for me the obvious big thing has been a second term. So my roadmap for the next year has changed a bit in terms of what I thought it might have been, and Zoe, my wife, and I are having to readjust. So that reality is sinking in. But I suppose I'm approaching that on the basis of trying to serve the church and obviously being prepared to put the graft in to make this work. Finding, I suppose, our voice has been very much a theme of the last number of months for me in reflecting, and we'll be talking more about this later, I'm sure. You know, the things that we want to say about wisdom, about being cautious, about expressing hope, about developing new thinking in face of some very significant challenges. And also, not just finding our voice, but the way that we say these things, both internally to the church and in the public square, adopting a posture of humility and sensitivity, especially where the pastoral realities that are faced by our people have been so hard. You know, a lot of people have been saying goodbye to relatives who've died, and they haven't been able to do it properly in the ways that we would expect, and this has been really hard. So I think I'm moderator of a wounded church at the moment, and I'm trying to be sensitive to that, managing the expectations of our ministers and people.
Yeah. And maybe just to pick up on that as well, if it's okay, you talk about the way we say things. Has that been hard in a world that's, you know, where everyone is maybe shouting for what they want and their demands and their rights, to actually have your voice heard, but also to have it heard in a way that's healthy and helpful?
There are channels that we can use as a church to push things out, and we've been doing that. I think probably getting better as that as we go. But the other channels are very much at the discretion of editors in newsrooms as to whether or not a story or a statement that we put out is picked up. Yeah. And it really depends then on the news agenda of a particular week. So, I mean, this very week, for example, we've put out an important statement about threats and intimidation, about the inappropriateness of those kind of interventions. But because of other things that have been happening this week, maybe that statement hasn't got the profile that it would have if it had been at a different time. We recognise that. It's just part of the warp and weft of doing this.
Thanks. Trevor, the last time you were on the podcast, you were talking about that moment that you sent an email to kind of close worship, I suppose, in churches last year. I wonder, since then or over that last year, what has work felt like for you?
I suppose, Rick, the one word that maybe describes it is the word mad. As in crazy, but also in the other, you know, use of the word mad, making a difference. In a strange way, although the work has been crazy, it's been like a tsunami hitting us as a denomination, as congregations, as individuals. There has been an opportunity to try to make a difference with a team in assembly buildings, who work for councils, along with the moderator and David here and his staff. Also with a team in congregations, ministers, elders, volunteers, And there has been a growing sense that the church has been making a difference, perhaps in a way that has been recognized in the wider community and by society at large, because we're a relational church. We're a church that cares for people. We've had to learn how to do that. But that sense of madness, both sense of it, the craziness of it, but also the making a difference, that's been really good. Personally, I find this incredibly tiring. I'm really glad to be with you on this Zoom call, but I can do without Zoom calls. And I think everybody's finding that now, that interacting in this way is tiring and difficult. In my own personal life, I went through a really very difficult stage at the end of October, November last year. I was really struggling. I felt exhausted. And I began, perhaps for the first time, maybe in my life, to feel incredibly anxious and not in control. I find that really difficult to face up to, difficult to talk about. The Trevor Gribben of last year wouldn't have been talking about that in a podcast. The Trevor Gribben who has come through that feels it's important to say that, to say that I struggled, that I got medical help. I talked to a counsellor. I had many good friends that prayed with me, supported me. I was able to keep going and work. And people like David and others and the staff team who took some responsibility for me to ease the burden. I think many people are there. Many people have felt that. And it's really difficult to admit that to yourself, difficult to seek help and difficult to find help, difficult to talk about it. And I'm saying that today, not that the whole world will feel really sad for me, because I've come through that and I'm still careful. But I'm saying that today because I think a lot of people maybe need to admit that we've all been struggling a bit, and maybe stop being self-contained people. We know as Christians we shouldn't be, but we are. And I just thank the Lord for his hand in that. But I thank the Lord for his gift of lots of people who were there with me in that. So this has been a challenging year for me, but a mad year. The ability also to be part of those who are making a difference.
Rick, let me jump in if I can, just to say, I think Trevor's been very open and honest about what's been a struggling year for him, and what has been for many others. If I have a source of regret, it's that he still supports Arsenal after all of this. But look, what can you do? I think what he has witnessed, and maybe what the church has witnessed, is a kind of, you know, a kind of sense of wave upon wave of different emotions through this year. It started when Trevor hit that button back in St. Patrick's Day, you know, of saying that worship was going to be suspended. And that introduced uncertainty and fear and confusion into the church. People didn't know what to do. How are we going to do this? How do you live stream? How do you pre-record a service? None of those skills were there. And then as you know, Easter passed and we got into a new phase, there was a novelty about it. The people were reinventing. There was a lot of interest. There were people exchanging stories and technology. And that carried us into the summer. But as this went on, I think, and Trevor expresses this in a slightly different way, but there was concern, there was impatience, there was frustration and tiredness and discouragement. And even by the time the autumn came, I think people were beginning to express anger in the phases of all of this, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think we're at a stage now and where we're still waiting. We're, in the words of the psalmist, we're asking, how long is this going to go on? How long? Mm-hmm. But maybe the seeds of hope. I've got a sore arm today because I got vaccinated on Monday and I was feeling rotten yesterday. But look, within that, there are the seeds of hope that maybe things are going to change.
Look, I'd agree with David and everything he said, apart from the football. We all have gone through different emotions, and I've listened, as David has, to ministers and elders and leaders email us and ring us. There's been times when there's been anticipation that we're about to go back, and there's been times there's frustration that we can't go back. There's anger. People don't know who they're angry with. They're just angry, because life is not as they want it to be or it should be. And that plays out through our different personalities. Some people cope more. Some people move from anticipation to frustration to anger much more quickly than others. And look, we need to face that. That's what life's like. And there'll be more of that. People are frustrated now. They're waiting to get back, hopefully, God willing, for Easter. But they're waiting for the executive to meet, to tell us something, then for our general counsel to meet, to say something to the church. And it's that roller coaster. And that's been challenging. It's also been good. I think we learn a lot about ourselves as a church and ourselves as leaders.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Yeah.
And in some ways, Trevor, you've said, Trevor Griffin, you said last year might not have been saying what you were saying this year. So in some ways you're saying, you know, there have been changes in your life, but there's also been changes in congregations too. You know, in some ways the church has changed and there are differences now in the church. So to bring in David Thompson, just I wonder, David, could you reflect a little bit on, you know, your work is equipping, working alongside congregations, enabling them in their work and their life and witness. Can you tell us maybe about what your work has felt like in doing that and the kind of journey with congregations over this past year?
Yeah, I think like David and Trevor, one of the things you just realise is that every day you can feel different. In fact, in one day you can go from having a good morning to a bad afternoon. The weird thing I think about the work that we do with congregations is on the one hand, it feels like everything's slowed down because church life is almost completely ground to a halt. But at the same time, the kind of initiatives that we've tried to do have been really unrelenting and the pace of that's been unrelenting. So that's been a really weird kind of paradox and tension going on all the time in kind of what we do. And not just me, but the other staff that work with me in life and witness. I think we've had to focus really hard on what we can do for now. So I think a lot of us feel really frustrated about the things that we can't do. And so again, on a daily basis, there's that going on. You know, you need to be working really hard to keep your focus on the one or two things that you can do. And that's true for us as individuals and also for congregations. And you know, Rick, you asked how does it feel? I mean, just to be really honest, how does it feel? It feels really frustrating. There's days it feels really discouraging. And there's moments where you feel things are about to turn the corner and they don't. So it's really disappointing. And I think, you know, as both David and Trevor have reflected and as we've seen as a society as well, it's a bad thing to repress those feelings or deny those feelings. You've got to wrestle with them. And I guess that's a daily attitude too. That's about getting out of bed and being honest with yourself and being honest with God about how you feel. And some days knowing that that feels better than others. And, you know, the two really simple things that I think we've all been brought back to is that God's ordinary means of speaking into our lives and of us speaking to Him are the word and prayer. And so those things are just crucially important. Even if it doesn't feel like you want to read God's word, you just should do it as the discipline and find that God speaks to you. And even if you don't feel like you've got all the words to pray, well, just start speaking to God and see what He does in you.
Mm-hmm. David, is there anything you've observed as well on the journey that maybe congregations have been on and over the past year, maybe the different phases of that as well? You know, what have you observed and seen there?
I think it's really important to think of the journey that we've been on, because sometimes we're so focused on living in the present that we miss what God has done or what God is about to do. So it's really important, I think, to get a sense of where we've come from, where we are and where we're going. And that gives us our bearings. And I think from March last year until about August, we were in that response mode. And it was a kind of amazing time. So all of us found that really exhausting and really challenging because everything was new and you had to rethink everything you did and how you did it. But looking back on that, that was really tough, but it was a really good and fruitful time for God's people because we learned a whole lot quickly. Things that have served us well right up to the present in how we worship and how we've been able to do that digitally and how we can reconnect with people in different ways. That was kind of the period from March to August. I think September last year, to be honest, became a really big disappointment to us because we were all ramping up towards getting everything going again. And then we discovered it wasn't going to be like that. And I do think a lot of air went out of the balloon at that moment. And the same thing happened again after Christmas and has probably continued until a few weeks ago. So there's been an extended period here where we've had to really learn about resilience in God, both individually and as congregations. And hopefully now we're beginning to turn a corner and there'll be a wee bit more spring in our step.
Could I come in there and say, there's a danger as people listen to us today that we give the impression that there is this thing called the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, which is the same in every town, city, village, and county. You know, there's not. Some congregations and some groups of people have struggled much more than others. Some of our colleagues have not perhaps had the support in their congregation, or they themselves have not been able to do some of the things that others have been able to do. And I'd have to say here that our colleagues in the south of Ireland, in Ireland, have been the ones who have borne the brunt of this, because the restrictions even now have been much more severe. It's likely Northern Ireland will get back to in-person worship relatively soon. That's much further off for colleagues in the south. And those congregations tend to be more isolated. And it's a real struggle for some of those people. So people maybe are listening to this and maybe they're feeling great and their congregation's done well and it's been a positive experience and they've been learning. For others, it's just been pretty dark. And I'd want to say that. And sometimes our colleagues in the south and our members in the south feel that we're so northern-based or even so Belfast-based that we forget that some rural areas in Ulster, it's been a real struggle. And some areas in the Republic of Ireland, it has been a real struggle and will continue to be a real struggle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's an important insight that we're not homogeneous. You know, the story is not the same everywhere. Let me put it this way. I think in our congregations, I'm seeing that there are planners who are aggressively trying to work this out, make things happen, and they're trying to be proactive. I think there are prayers who are content to wait for God to lead us and they want to be obedient and they're just pausing and waiting. I think there are panickers. Are we going to manage? What do we do next? Are we even going to survive? They want certainty. And I think there are plodders who are just keeping going. They're doing the things that they always do. And if they need to make some changes, then that'll happen in good time. And they're just patiently waiting. They don't want to be diverted from what they know and what's familiar. And I think there are elements of all of that, probably more as well, within the responses the congregations have been making. And actually, there are strengths in each of those, even the panickers, because they have been rightly introducing a note of urgency into the mix. The story is going to be different for everybody, north, south, east, and west.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's help the planners or the, I don't know whether it's the planners or the plotters, but let's begin to look ahead a little bit. I mean, that has been helpful to reflect a little bit on the journey. So I'd love to think both in terms of maybe where we are now, taking into consideration that no, you know, one congregation is the same, and every, you know, people's situations are different. But where do you think we are now in terms of circumstances within congregations? Where do we seem to be moving towards as well as we move forward?
So, I don't think there's one size in the narrative that fits everyone here. So, a PCI handbook on emergence from COVID is only going to be partially helpful. It's something we need to do, but it's not going to address all the issues. I think we need to not forget that a number of really big seismic things have been happening in the course of the last couple of years, each of which in their own way has had an impact on our lives as churches. So let me list some of them. The law on marriage has changed in both jurisdictions. And that has caused the entire population, including people of faith, to reassess what we believe about this. And this has radically affected the way that churches which hold to a traditional and biblically orthodox view of marriage are actually viewed in the public square. A whole new interface has opened up in that. I think there has also been, evidently, a change in the law on abortion in both jurisdictions. And again, for some, this has undermined our confidence that whatever else governments do, they will surely act in the best interests of the weak and the vulnerable. And that now apparently is no longer the case, and people are feeling deeply uneasy about that. So there's another seismic change that has happened in the course of the last short period. The law on end-of-life care, Rick, is now being challenged. And I am pretty sure that we're going to see a serious attempt to have assisted suicide legislated for, as it has been in some other countries in Europe and indeed in some states in the USA. And a bill is actually, as we speak, being considered by the Oireachtas in Dublin. And inevitably, there's going to be a northern version of that. You know, we're not talking about Brexit so much, but look, it has meant that many of the formal and informal channels of trade and conversation and education and collaboration, which we have worked at over the years with the energies of the Good Friday Agreement for the past 23 years, those things, north, south, east and west, are being hindered and possibly set aside or certainly reframed. Small business owners and employers and farmers and people who are trying to trade across the Irish Sea or across the land border, many of whom are Presbyterians, there is, I think, a pretty deep-seated set of uncertainty about the future for them. And of course, there's the political energy that we all are aware of being placed behind what might be a move for a border poll, which, if it happens, will only serve to divide and polarise our communities further. And this is all happening and has been the narrative of the last 18 months to 2 years. So COVID is not the only story in the book. Now, it may be the front cover of the book, it may be the first chapter of the book, but we need, I think, as a people, slow down, read on, think hard, because all of these things and more are defining our relationships with the culture. And we need to find a posture and a vocabulary to participate really well in this. This really isn't a decade for the faint-hearted. So COVID's only part of the story.
Okay, David, thanks. I love that kind of idea of we need to find a posture, and you're maybe preparing us for a decade, not for the faint-hearted, you say as well. Trevor, what's your perspective on some of that?
Yeah, there are two phrases that come to mind, both of which are true, but both of which, taken the extreme, are dangerous. If I take the two phrases, reconnect and reassess, there are some people who just want to get back to the way it was. And they just want to open up again. They just want to get organizations going again. They just want to get it all going again, reconnect, go back to where it was in congregations. And there are some in those big issues that David talked about, we just want to go back to the way it was before all those cultural shifts happened. There are others who want to reassess, and they want to spend perhaps so much time reassessing that that's all they do. The seat I sit in, I listen to councils like your councils, Rick and David, and you know, we got to reassess before we start up again. The truth usually is in the middle, isn't it? We got to reassess. We got to learn the lessons. We got to think of what God is calling us to as we move forward. But we got to also reconnect. The big thing that we've lost in our congregations, in our families, in our societies, in our communities is connectedness. Yeah. That's at the very heart of who we are. God in himself is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made in the image of God. We are made for connection, for relationship with our Heavenly Father, but with one another. And that is a special spiritual dimension in the church where we connect with brothers and sisters. We got to find ways relatively quickly of helping people reconnect. And we have to watch that we're not so busy reassessing, planning, and strategizing that we don't get on with that. People want to reconnect. And that's not just inward looking. There's such an opportunity where our congregations are based that reconnection, that come be part of this family here, come connect to people here, will have such a missional edge to it if we can catch the vision for that. Mm-hmm. And we've got to work through that in practical terms. Everything's not going to go back. The society's going to come out of COVID slowly. But what we do, coming into the summer, how can we help our people reconnect? How can that help our community reconnect with our church family or connect perhaps for the first time? So reassess, yeah. Think well. Use the materials that will come out from the Council of Congregational Life and Witness. Work with sessions. Work in presbyteries. Think well what church needs to look like, how we start up. But don't spend time theorizing. Let's begin to reconnect and let's find ways of doing that. That's, I think, where we need to be. And in David's, that wider picture, which I agree 100% with, how do we reconnect with this society where so many norms have changed.
Thanks. David, do you want to add that?
Yeah, I think all of that's true. So support for congregations in this next phase of life is about to change a little bit in tone and content after Easter. And it will have a more concerted emphasis on gradually resuming more normal rhythms of congregational life. You'll see that if you take careful note of how the refined theme adopts after Easter a new subtitle, which we're going to call Fanning the Flame. And so in many ways, we know that the flame has burned a bit low in our church life over the last number of months, and we need to fan it back into what God wants it to be. Now, you don't fan a flame by going at it like mad, because you'll just snuff it out. But on the other hand, you do need to take action and think about how to get the flame burning again. And that's the kind of picture that we want the church to grapple with. I think there are a number of things that we can say about the journey ahead. One is that we need to be positive. So there will be a gradual easing of restrictions, and we need to grasp those opportunities as each new freedom allows us to do other things that we're not able to do at the moment. So we need to be positive, but we also need to be realistic. We need to set a sensible pace for this. And maybe the gradual easing of restrictions can be seen as our friend here, because it gives us a little bit more time to rebuild slowly rather than just to rush back to the way we've always done things. So let's be realistic and realise also that people are tired and weary, and that we've got to think about that as we start to bring back a bit more of our life together. So be positive, be realistic. We need to be focused, whether it's in Northern Ireland or the Republic, and they definitely do seem to be moving at a different pace. The first thing that's going to come back is our worship service, and that's going to be our core activity. But then how can we follow that with other gatherings for people that just bring them back together, that maybe don't have lots of ministry content? That might seem a really strange thing to say, but are just spaces in which people can begin to find community again and talk to each other. So we need to be focused on that, not doing everything at once or trying to do everything at once, picking the one or two things that we need to do at each stage of the journey. We need to be open as well, because we need to give ourselves permission to acknowledge that not everything we did before should actually come back. Some things might not come back at all. Other things might come back in a new and a fresh and a different way, and that will reshape our core activities of church life. But, you know, habit's a very powerful thing, and memory's a very powerful thing. And so I think all of us struggle a little bit to think about how to do things differently and to be open to that. So we're going to need that openness. We need to be generous. Both Trevor and David have said that we need to have an outward-looking mentality as well. And there are going to be ways that we can use our church life and we can use our church buildings to help our community to come out of what they've experienced through COVID. So let's be generous and not just focused on ourselves. And of course, we're going to need to be flexible, because you need to watch the news every night and you hear on the one hand it's all going good, and then on the other hand we need to be careful and cautious about that. So we don't quite know what's going to happen up ahead, and we need to retain that flexibility as well.
Thanks, David. I mean, I'm interested in, as people listen to this within congregations, perhaps ministers, elders, organisational leaders, staff members, What might be critical for congregations or leaders to be doing and thinking about in this next phase?
Trevor has mentioned the need for connectedness, and David has given us that very helpful summary of a number of directions of travel. Underpinning all of that is doing the basics really well. So at a congregational level, I think we need to learn again how to pray as if we really are talking to God and not the ceiling, because this is our ultimate expression of helplessness in the face of things that we don't really understand. And if the context of the last year is anything, it is certainly that. Learn how to worship God rather than the act of gathering. Learning how to worship God rather than the act of gathering, because this is the infallible barometer of where our heart's desire really rests. Learning how the Bible works, because this is where we will, if we have working ears, hear the voice of God speaking with authority and truth. And I think there's an important discipline for us to impose upon ourselves about this, that we restate and re-understand what the Bible is and how it works. Learning how to care beyond our circle for congregations, this is actually, I think, critical to our mission, because this is a missional moment such as only really happens in a time of war, when all the joints and ligaments of society have been dislocated. And everyone, especially people who don't believe, are looking for how to make this work again. They're looking for meaning. This is a phenomenal moment. And lastly, maybe negatively, it's how to develop a gospel thick skin, because it's likely that the antipathy that we've seen and heard being expressed against the churches is going to continue. And in the minds of some, especially the social media trolls, it's going to curdle into maybe active hatred of us and what we're trying to do. It's a change of atmosphere, Rick. I don't mean to overstate it, but I do think I need to flag it, because we do need to develop thick skins.
David, what might be critical for congregations to be doing and thinking about in this next phase?
Trying to get in the right frame of mind for the next bit of the journey, I think, is really important. We really need to turn to God and ask Him to help us with our weariness. I think that's the first thing, to get in the right frame of mind to look forward and to go forward together. And I think congregational well-being, we've talked a lot about well-being during this pandemic, and quite often it's about individual well-being, but it's good to reflect on what does congregational well-being look like. How are we going to do this well together, that this regathering, this coming back together? I think for the moment, people probably do need to set themselves for the return of the worship service, and then just begin to think about who are the groups who most need an environment created to be together. And there's been a lot of talk about parents with young families and the fact that we've become disconnected from them. Young people have really missed being able to be together. Older people as well, even though that maybe they're more reluctant about coming out, they're often the most isolated. So how can we get people together in a space just to reconnect and to regather with one another is going to be really important. I've been thinking about this in terms of a car and what happens when I get into the car in the morning. And really the first thing that I do after I let off the handbrake and start the engine is I've got to get the car back on the road. It's no good in the driveway. It's not taking me anywhere in the driveway. In many ways, church life's been parked in the driveway, and we need to reverse out onto the road to get going and think about that in this moment. And then it's about not revving the engine. Some people want to rev the engine and move up the gears really quickly. That's never a good sign for the neighbours, and it's not really very good for your car, and it's not going to be great for our church. So how do we begin to steer and move up the gears as we go forward? And maybe that's a helpful way to think about what the journey's going to look like.
Trevor, do you want to add anything there for congregations?
Yeah, I could go on with David's car metaphor. I drive an automatic car, and it moves up through the gears itself as the journey continues, and sometimes it moves down through the gears. And I think, not to push this metaphor too far, but perhaps it's more like an automatic car where God is bringing us up through the gears and we're not setting the pace. We're being intuitive, we're being close to Him, and we're letting Him not just set the direction, but also the pace. Look, I think like this next phase we're about to move into, one of the key things that is before us, as it has been every phase, is let's look for opportunities. There will be stacks of opportunities, but if we're focused on what we can't do, and the difficulties, we not see those opportunities and we'll not grasp them. Picking up one thing David Bruce said, when we get back, when we're in our buildings again with brothers and sisters, we rejoice in being together again. But our focus can't be on the being together again. It has to be on the Lord. And those who lead our worship, our ministers, our praise leaders, others, you know, we should be praying for them, that they'll be able to lead that gathered people again back to reconnect with God. That's a different kind of reconnection than when we're doing it alone or even doing it online. I've attended some amazing online service. I've been blessed by preaching. I've been led in worship and praise. It's been really from my soul, but it is, we all know, it's different when we come together again. But let it not just be the experience of coming together again. Let it be the experience of that wonderful reconnection with God. And let's look for the opportunities. In a sense, the pandemic has shaken up our society. But God has worked good in the midst of that. People who felt their lives were self-contained and controlled, didn't need anybody, certainly didn't need God, have realized that life is not self-contained, that we struggle, and people are looking for answers. And in the gospel, we have an answer, and in God, we have one who is a refuge and a strength, not just for believers, but for those who are going to come to faith.
So we're recording this conversation in March, and Easter's just around the corner. So I wonder, could you tell us a little bit about hope for Easter?
Maybe I can kick this off. Rick, some of you will know that my theme for the year's moderator, the year past, has been home. And certainly we find ourselves in homes, in our homes, in ways that we wouldn't have expected. And it's, of course, a very rich biblical metaphor also. And God is leading us ultimately towards home with him in heaven. Whenever the church asks me to take on a second year, what I have decided to do is adjust that just by one letter, moving from home to hope. And the idea, of course, is that it's also a very rich biblical metaphor, but it changes, as it were, our stance in relation to all of this, looking optimistically towards the future with hope. And Easter is the perfect platform for that because, well, let me say that hope is not blind optimism. It's about being certain that the things that God has said about us and his world are true. So what I'm hoping to do, to explore in the course of the next number of months, some of the deeply encouraging things that God has said about the future, and to ask some questions about how we can prepare to live in light of that, in light of the hope that he has laid for us. And I have to say, I'm an optimist about the future because I think that the horrible events of Jesus' execution prefigured what was an explosion of grace that was Easter Sunday morning. We not only live in a stated hope that comes from heaven, but we live in the knowledge of hope that comes as the inheritance of being in Christ.
So you'll be looking forward to seeing some of this and finding it over the Easter period. So it's going to appear in the usual places, in blogs and podcasts, in tides, in extended Let's Pray material for the Easter weekend as well. And I know the moderator is also going to pre-record a service that people want to use in their church life, or even just watch as individuals and be encouraged by.
Could I just say, let's remember what I said earlier about the North-South issue. Probably most of our congregations in the Republic will not be able to come back for in-person worship at Easter. And that will be a regret and a sense of lament there. And that planning will need to be different, but that message of hope will be the same message. For those in Northern Ireland, though, we'll only be able to press the go button after the executive have their next meeting, but it's likely we will have our first in-person gatherings on Easter Sunday. Let's plan really creatively. Some congregations I know coming up to Christmas had three carol services on the one Sunday to enable everyone to go. Well, we're going to be limited in numbers if we come back at Easter with our booking systems. We're going to be back to that again. But in Northern Ireland, maybe should we plan for two or three Easter services to let everyone who wants to come, come and celebrate the hope that is in Christ? Let's try to think how we're outward looking. Should we share that message of Easter hope in Christ with all in our community?
Well, thanks to you all for bringing us a kind of message of hope and bringing us the full circle throughout this episode as we've thought about the journey of the last year and leading us to the hope that we find in Jesus that we celebrate at Easter. At the end of this episode, we're going to just do what we normally do on every episode and just finish by hearing from each of you. maybe a passage from the Bible that you've been drawn to or struck by recently that's been most helpful for you, Trevor. We'll stay with you just for that.
Yeah, one of my favorite Old Testament passages is Isaiah 43. It's a bit in the prophecy of Isaiah where God says, "Fear not, for I've redeemed you, I've called you by name. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you." And look, that's been so real for us, I hope, during all these phases, will be real into the future. But that passage goes on. The verse I'd want to focus on today is in verse 19. This is what God says. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is doing a new thing, undoubtedly. That question that God sends through the prophet, he sends to us today, "Do you not perceive it?" That's a challenge. Let's go where God's going. Let's tune into the new thing. And that wonderful truth, "I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland." That's what God is doing and is going to do. We need to get in tune with it, perceive it, and go with it.
David?
I guess I've been thinking about that fanning the flame image. And of course, the first place that your mind goes in Scripture is 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, where Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And I think we need that firm encouragement now, individually and as a congregation. We've something to do here in this next moment, and it's our calling to do it, and it will require us to overcome our fears and to move in the power of the Spirit, but also to exercise love and a wise self-control.
He got the first word, we'll give him the last word.
Oh, you're very kind. Look, Psalm 126 has been helpful to me in the last couple of weeks, partly because I was preaching on it and was in the study preparing around it. But it is the little psalm which talks about, among other things, a farmer going out to sow in tears, but that he returns with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And my sense of that text, scrutinizing it as carefully and as closely as I can, is that the sheaves he came back with needed to be irrigated by his tears. That actually the nature and the abundance of this blessing wouldn't have been there without his tears. So in hope, I'm looking to this season as a time of what in God's providence has been hard preparation, maybe tearful preparation for something remarkable that God is going to do.
Thanks. And thanks to each of you, not only for taking the time to share with us today on the podcast and for taking another Zoom call, Trevor, but also for what you do through each of your roles as well. And on episodes of this podcast, we really like to hear what's happening in local congregations and local perspectives, but also at times it's really helpful just to get a kind of wider view, and each of you bring that through your roles, and we appreciate that too. I'm sure not too many of us maybe listening would have enjoyed having to take some of the decisions that you've had to in the last year, and so can I encourage our listeners to pray for these folks and all the various things that they're doing. And also just to point you towards the PCI website to find out more about some of the various things that have been mentioned today. Do keep an eye on presbyterianireland.org for information about some of these initiatives, particularly Hope for Easter. And that's all for today. May I wish you all a happy Easter, and we really look forward to being back with you with another episode after Easter. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.